out with about five people, and now I look up, wow, okay, good to see everyone. Had a great holiday, and it's good to be back. We're in the book of Hebrews. We're going to continue through the fall, and where are we? We're up to about chapter 4. I think if you got the insert in the bulletin, chapter 4, verse 14. But just a review that the book of Hebrews is about the supremacy of Christ. Christ is number one, period. There's no one greater than him. We don't need anything else than him. And the way he's been presented so far in these first three and four and a half chapters is that God's last and greatest word is spoken by his Son. We don't need a further message because the word became flesh. The word that God wants us to know how to relate to him and how to relate to each other as human beings, and particularly as his chosen people. What does that look like? God's last and greatest word is spoken by his Son. We need to listen to him. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. He's the exact representation of God in his glorious being. Listen to Jesus. And Christ is the greatest revelation, greater than angels. We don't need angels to help us figure out things. Just this past week, I was with a brother, and we were talking about a man's ministry, and this man's ministry is based on some revelation from an angel. And to see that there wasn't evidence to give to some of this man's claims, but he said, I had this angel experience, and then that kind of buffs up some of his teaching. So beware of that. Even in this day, angels are promoted as being extraordinary revelation. Islam had that start. That's how Muhammad had an angel. The Mormons and their church, that's how they got started with their leaders having, Joseph Smith having an engagement with an angel. But Christ is greater than a revelation of the angels, okay? He's God's Son, full of glory and truth. He came in the human flesh, and we need to listen to him. We don't need an angel. Now, angels are real, and they may come involved in your life and help you. I don't doubt that. But we don't need them to explain how to live, how to relate to God, how to have our sin taken care of. But the greatest spokesman for God is Christ. He's greater than Moses. Moses said, yeah, here's how we are to love God and how we're to love each other. He gave us the Ten Commandments. That's the old covenant. It's good stuff. It's not to be done away with. No, Christ didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. And he gives us this new covenant, how salvation comes to our hearts, where we not only do the will of God, but we have the power of Holy Spirit's indwelling to will to do the word of God and the will of God. More about that later, but that's where we've been so far in the supremacy of Christ. Well, today I talk about the secret to a vibrant prayer life. Last time I think I talked with you is the secret of contentment, but today is the secret of a vibrant prayer life, or it's the beginning of a series about Christ is greater than Aaron, how Christ is the supreme high priest, which we have sung about so beautifully, worship team, and then that song introducing during our offertory. How would you describe your prayer life? You know, sometimes we have the privilege in small groups or with friends, we sit down and we pray with one another, and we listen to some people and we pray, and some people are much more, personality-wise, they just seem to be more free in their praying. Others are a little reserved, and sometimes I meet people, I say, could you just speak a little louder? I mean, if we're going to pray together, I mean, I know it's I know God hears you and everything, but can you just give a little more oomph to it, you know? But then there are others who just cry and just do all kinds of crazy things. You wonder, God, could you make anything out of all that? I don't know what was going on. But how would you describe your prayer life? Bonnie and I have been on holiday for a staycation here in DB, but we were at another church last week and went to go pray with a friend. And he was so, we're praying right before the meal, a Sunday meal last week, and I listened to his prayer and I said, that was vibrant. There was something there that was vibrant, and he was so thankful, and his thanksgiving, it made me thankful. But the secret to a vibrant prayer life, I believe, is found here in these verses, and let's start unpacking them. And this is in chapter 4, verse 14 of Hebrews. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. Do you like lettuce versus? Sometimes I have a picture of a salad, you know, romaine lettuce, whatever lettuce comes to your mind, you know, lettuce. Those are really good, and that's why I wanted to highlight that. And we'll come back to this, but let us hold fast our confession, since we have such a great high priest. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weakness. That's a double negative, meaning we have a high priest who sympathizes with our weakness. Hebrew likes to use double negatives. I mean Greek language and Hebrew language. But we have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect been as tempted as we are, yet without sin. Here's another lettuce. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy. This endless sea of mercy. It doesn't end. And what? And find grace to help in the time of need. So, a vibrant prayer life seeks help in time of need, particularly in regard to holding fast to our faith. Don't act like it's all rock and roll when you are having struggles to believe. When your marriage isn't working, when your kids aren't listening to you, when things at work are just seem really, really crazy. Why in the world does my employer demand so much in this little bit of time? Where are the resources I need to get the job done? Whatever it might be, whenever life is going crazy and you're beginning to think, well, Jesus, do you even hear me? You're gonna be tempted to not hold on to your faith. And when the world is saying that marriage is same-sex unions do exist. Yes, there are these same-sex attractions that people have, but it's not marriage. Marriage is between man and woman. That's what produces children and what makes family. So when the world tells us family is something else, it's going to be hard to hold on. When the world tells us what really matters is drinking so much alcohol that you feel so great that you can forget all your problems, and we say, no, I've been commanded what? Don't be filled with wine, but be what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. Be controlled by Holy Spirit. Yeah, legalization of certain drugs. The world's saying it's just for recreational use, you know. Hold firm to my faith. Why? Because as we sing here, we know and we've experienced the joy of the Lord. There's something more pleasurable than just feeding the senses, feeding the flesh. Hold fast to my faith. This morning we were praying about someone giving thanks. But some of us, person was touched, maybe some healing going on here. I can't say right now. I won't go into that example. But some of us have children with disabilities. Maybe they're learning disabilities, minor. But some of them can have disabilities that are great. And then our faith is, where is it? It's hard to hold on. But a vibrant prayer life comes and talks about, I need your help, God. I need you to keep me holding on, no matter what life is throwing at you. I need mercy. And I need grace. I need mercy and I need grace. For some reason, we like to think our biggest problems are XYZ, getting this job, getting this new house, getting my kids educated. These are real problems which you need to go to the throne of grace and pray about. You need to ask. Don't take me wrong on this. But you and I have this really, 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 really ugly disease called sin that keeps operating. And we need to continue to go for grace and mercy. And we'll unpack this a little bit more as we go through the sermon. But a vibrant prayer life is going to the throne of grace, looking to for grace and mercy to help me hold fast to my faith. Well, who can meet these needs? Well, this is our great high priest. What comes to your mind when you think of priests? I don't know why he comes to my mind, but Pope Francis does, okay? That's what came to my mind, the first guy. And now he's the Roman Catholic Church. Now the Eastern Orthodox Church, they don't have a one Pope guy. They have the different bishops from different countries. And so this is the Russian guy, and this is the Greek guy. And then there's the Roman Polish guy and all these other men, you know. But they all have beards, you know. The Eastern Orthodox guys have beards. The popes have to shave, I guess. They got their own barber. But to make a long story short, that's, I don't know, we could put up pictures of Protestant guys, you know. Here's James, here's some guys, you know. But priests, I don't know what comes to your mind, but the biblical high priests, what were they like? And the scriptures unpack us for us. The writer of Hebrews is going to take us in chapter 5, verse 1. He's going to tell us, "For every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins." And this is chapter 5, verse 2. "He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward." "Since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people." So, in summary, high priests do what? They're human, all right? Chosen from among men. You got to be human to be a high priest. You can't be an angel, all right? Angels aren't high priests. Humans are. And they do what? They represent men before God, okay? So on behalf, I'm your representative, all right? This priest would be. And he offers sacrifices for sin, but not only for them, for the people, but what? For himself too. And it says can deal gently with sinners. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward because he himself is beset with weakness, meaning what? He's ignorant and wayward at times. It takes one to know one, right? Well, I'm a sinner. I know you. You're sinners. But also know we're saved sinners. And that's where the joy comes in and the hope of Christ in us. But can deal gently with sinners. My own son, I wrote him an email yesterday, and I'm trying to be gentle in there, and he's facing discouragement and fear and all this kind of thing, and I'm saying, you know, I just can't tell you, okay, bite your upper lip, or your bottom lip, I don't know, bite your lip or chin up, you know, heads up, whatever, you'll be all right, everything will come all right, mate, you know, it'll be all right, you know, I can't say that, but I can say that in God, you know, be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God goes with you wherever you may go, and if you'll humble yourself before the Lord, he will do what? He will exalt you in his due time. Now, I try to say that gently. He still wrote me an email reply, asked me how the football game goes, so I think we're still cool. But gently, because I know I'm a sinner. We have to be gentle. But most important, these high priests were what? "And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was." You can't say, okay, can I be high priest? You know, I'd like to be that job, get my media support team, and I'll get elected. No. How do you get that job? You had to be appointed by God. Now, this is Old Testament Israel we're talking about right now. We're going to talk about Christ as a high priest and compare those two. But in today's day and age, when we have pastors, people we call men of God, people who are called by God to the gospel ministry, there has to be what I call a subjective call. So if someone tells me, you know, I think I'd like to try out being a pastor, I say, hold on, don't try out. That's not the way to go, you know. You got a call from God. Now, how did God call you into the ministry? And not only do we have that subjective calling that comes from a person thinks, well, I think God in his circumstances and in prayer and as I was reading scripture, it is clear he wants me to do this, to become a minister. But then what? The church has to objectively affirm that call. We see the way you treat your family. We see the way that you minister among us, your love for the word, your love for Christ. Yes, we believe this call is for real. And so we give you the green light and our blessings are on you. But sometimes you say, no, you may feel that way, but I don't think we see that in you. That occurs occasionally, but that's the church's responsibility. But here, God definitely called Aaron and is saying what we're going to see is that these high priests, yeah, they're human, they represent men before God, but they're called by God for a very, very special service. So here is one artist's depiction of someone like Aaron, a high priest. He's able to go into the Holy of Holies how many times? Once a year. Just once a year. And he sprinkles blood for the atonement, the covering of the sins of all the people, including himself. And he can only do this once a year. He had to take off his shoes, no wearing shoes, and he had a rope tied around his ankle. In case he dropped dead, they could bring him out, because no one else could go in there but the high priest. But our high priest, now we're back to, if we could jump back to chapter 4 and 14. Since then, we have a great high priest. This is going to talk about our high priest. The author of Hebrews saying this is who we got. We don't have Aaron. We got someone else, yeah, all right? We got Jesus. He's passed through the heavens. There's so many pilots here, I can't even count you all today. They pass through the heavens all the time in Earth's atmosphere. A few guys get to be lucky astronauts, and they cut through the atmosphere, right? And enter outer space. And a few guys in Hollywood get to go to the distant galaxies. boom, boom. I love to see the Star Wars hyper blast, and boom, they're in another galaxy just like that, you know. Well, Jesus has done that. He's passed through the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we don't have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. So I try to unpack that double negative to make it a positive. He's able to sympathize with our weakness. And I don't know what kind of weakness you have. Bonnie, can you show us your weakness? I'm embarrassing her. But she had an accident on her hand. She's got her right index finger. Thank you for praying. It's much better. She's going through physical therapy now, and it's tough, and these are tough days for her. But to get that mobility back in the finger is what we're praying. But I don't care what kind of weakness you have. Maybe you're looking at, I've got this kind of weakness, you know, that has to deal with more of a spiritual nature. I worry about everything. I got all this fear that comes up. He's able to sympathize with our weaknesses. But one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Now come on, Jesus, you didn't have internet. How were you ever tempted with pornography? To those of us who have been tempted by pornography, I bet you've never had a beautiful woman wash your feet with her hair. And Jesus did not look at her with any lust at all. Or who was offered all the kingdoms of the world, including what? Their beautiful women. And he said, no. Get behind me, Satan. For men not shall live by that kind of stuff. Yes, Jesus was tempted as we are, yet without sin. To complain? Oh, These are the most delightful 12 men I've ever had in my life. He didn't complain. He knew there was time to rebuke the 12. You know, Peter, get behind me, Satan. I've got to die on the cross. We can't. This is the God's plan, you know. Tempted as we are, yet without sin. So our high priest passed through the heavens, something that's unimaginable. You know, the disciples watching him ascend to heaven, I mean, they're captivated by it as he goes up. And then these angels, here come the angels to help him out. Get your eyes off, you know, come on, get to work. You go wait on him, he's going to give you Holy Spirit, and then you're going to become his witnesses throughout the world, okay? So he passed through the heavens, he ascended. Jesus, the Son of God. This is your high priest. It's not Dr. Thunderbolt of whatever denomination. You may have somebody that's called your grandmother, a holy woman who prayed for you. But your high priest is the Son of God, Jesus. He's able to sympathize with your weakness, physical, mental, spiritual, whatever weakness you have, he is able to sympathize with it. He knows what it's like to be hungry. He knows what it's like to be deserted by your friends. Those of you who are going through divorce or have been through divorce and you feel like nobody understands you, he knows what it's like to be left alone. Tempted like us, but without sin. Yes. All those desires we've talked about, the desires to enjoy, the desires to have, the desires for reputation, he was tempted in all those points, but yet without sin. Tempted like us, but without sin. Perhaps this is a bit sacrilegious artwork here, but I think it's trying to show us that this mercy seat in the Holy of Holies is the real deal. What was down here on earth, we're going to be looking at, we'll use this terminology, is a shadow of the things to come. So Christ is in heaven, being our high priest, and as a song that I quoted in the bulletin, he's pleading his blood for you and me. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." In another scripture it says, he never thought equality with God something to be grasped in Philippines. He didn't go around saying, well, I'm God. He says, anybody who's seen me has seen the Father. He was very, very humble in the way he presented his godness, his deity. This whole submission within the Trinity, you know, it's not like God said, oh, okay, Father God, this is a good idea, this way we're going to save humanity, but you know what, I think I'll stay back and why don't you go down there and you go to the cross. Now that's being very flippant about who this holy God is and his God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But there's a unity and there's a submission, there's a headship, and there's submission, and that's reflected how? In our lives as husband and wives. Husbands, we need to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And wives need to love their husbands how? Like the church should be responding to the love Christ has. Submissive and obedient, totally. Okay, appointed by him who said today, "You are my son, today I've begotten you," and as it says in another place, "You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." How many of you guys are familiar with Melchizedek? You like that guy? How many are going to name a kid Melchizedek? I haven't met anybody named Melchizedek. Hey, Dave, there's your name. Okay. All right. Melchizedek. You can find his story in Genesis 14, Psalm 110, which was just quoted. And then in these passages, as we're going to go through Hebrews 5, 6, and 7, you'll see Melchizedek's name mentioned several times. But in Genesis 14, when Abraham comes back from doing war in this Valley of the Kings, he went to go rescue Lot, got in some trouble, you know, and got carried off by these evil guys. And then Abraham, Father Abraham, this is the only battle that I can remember. You have to help me out on my Old Testament scriptures, but that he didn't do too much fighting, right? It's not until the deliverance from Pharaoh, and then we started having some really good fights. But this one, that's Melchizedek holding out the hand. And he blesses Abraham. Where'd he come from? Salem, but you know, nobody really knows his existence. You know, how he got there and what was he doing. So that's where when I first learned the English word enigmatic. He's an enigma. Help me out with that one, guys. Enigma, right? Enigma, okay. Say that all again. Enigma, okay. Meaning he's kind of mysterious, all right? But the point we're making here is he's a priesthood. No one's like him, like Jesus. Some may even think that Melchizedek is Jesus. That's for a different type, but we'll come back to that later. But our high priest, just to review again, he passed through the heavens supernaturally as he ascended into high, where he's at the throne of God now in the Holy of Holies, making intercession for us. Jesus, the Son of God, able to sympathize with weaknesses. He's tempted like us, but without sin. It's an eternal appointment. Remember the high priests, they lived a certain lifespan, and their appointment wasn't for eternity. But our high priest, he's there forever. He's a king forever. We should have peace. We know the world's going through some very, 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 very topsy-turvy times. And things are going to get worse. And then Christ will come. But during these tough trials, just remember, you've got someone who's eternally king, eternally priest. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. He was heard. If you live next door to us, across the hall from us, you may hear me occasionally raise my voice. I have gotten angry in my life once or twice. And when I get angry, I raise my voice, okay? And you can hear it, all right? I don't hear any unusual noises here today. It's pretty quiet. But you can hear things. But that's not what's going on here. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications. Notice he doesn't pray softly, with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. Take this cup away from me, but not my will be done, but your will be done. And he was heard because of his reverence. God heard him and answered his prayer. He was heard when he was on earth and he prayed so fervently. Save me from death. Did Jesus die? Yeah. Did Father God save him from death? Yes. This is your high priest. Now we want to follow God. I want to finish well in my ministry. I want you to finish well in your life, in your time on this planet as a follower of Christ. And you can imagine, you know, you've got to go die for Christ, God, tomorrow. And you, what are you going to do? And this guy remains faithful to Father God, and he's crying out, save me from death. And God answers his son's prayer and delivers him from death. That's who your high priest is. That's who my high priest is. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is that great swap we talk about. This is that great exchange we sing about. This is it. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin. God doesn't love you and I because we have some innate attraction? No, he loves us because his son died for us to bring us to himself so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We're very valuable to him that he would do this. This illustration may help you what I'm trying to say. It's pretty simple. God treats me as if I've never sinned. Jesus was punished for my sins. And so when the high priest stands in front of God in the Holy of Holies, in the true temple, not made with hands by men, in that true temple where he is bringing his own blood, figuratively, love James, love Bonnie, love, put your name there, because my blood was shed for them. And although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. There's not that he lacked anything, that he was had some moral imperfection, but to be complete as a son of God and Savior, he had to do what? He had to go to death, be delivered from death, resurrected for you and I. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. All who obey him. Remember the rich young ruler who followed Christ and said, you know, what must I do to be saved? Another guy asked him, you know, what do we got to do, Jesus? And Jesus said, you know what you got to do? You got to believe. You got to believe that the Father sent me. You believe, and you will be saved. Repent and believe. Quit doing life that you can do life on your own. No, you need me in your life. You need me in the center of your life, and you need to believe that I've been sent by God, and that my blood was shed for you, and that through that sacrifice, you can have eternal life and abundant life here on this planet. So that's what it means. Being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And about this we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you are becoming dull of hearing, and so be more coming about Melchizedek and all that, how it fits in as we continue in Book of Hebrews. But for application, it's fairly simple. It's the let us verse. Let us then with confidence, some versions read with boldness, with confidence. Did anybody ask for a raise this past year? Nobody? Is anybody going to try and ask for a raise this year? Okay. I saw a couple of Cathay guys. All right. You know, you got to have a little boldness when you go in the office. You know, Mr. or Mrs. Chan, you know, I've been working for you 45 years. You think we can get a dollar an hour increase? You know, whatever. You got to have some boldness, right? And confidence to say, what do you think? Could I have a raise? With boldness and confidence, this what a lovely song, this Sea of Mercy. I mean, we can look out a little bit from DB and we see some water out there. But, you know, you got this great big ocean, Pacific, the Atlantic, the Indian, the China Seas, all these things out there. And just think of that's mercy. And who controls that is your great high priest. And he says, you need some? Come get it. It's endless. Now, there's got to be true repentance and true remorse for sin, We're not going to just say, okay, let's go out and get drunk this week and really have a big party and all this kind of stuff, and then I'll come back and get some of that mercy I need and grace on Monday. No, that's not the way it works. But deep inside you, if you long to be close to your Savior and your great high priest, you know there's nothing I can ever do that will separate me from his love, including my sin. Just be truthful, okay? You had an argument with the kids and you were angry. And the anger of man and the anger of woman doesn't bring about the righteousness that God requires. And you said things to your child that you shouldn't have said, and you need to ask for forgiveness from those kids, but you also can go boldly in confidence and say, Lord Jesus, thank you that when you walked planet Earth, you didn't get angry with children like I just did. And I want to thank you that your blood covers my anger. And I want to say, please, please give me some of this mercy and grace that I need. And the same can be said for arguments we have as husbands and wives when it becomes very, very, very ugly. I like this definition. It's from the Newsboys, some great theologians. Mercy is not getting what I deserve. Okay, what does sin deserve? Death, punishment, and I'm going to say the word, hell. You do not deserve to live with God. None of us. But because my sins have been covered, I'm not getting that punishment. Because my sins have been covered, I can now be a friend with God. And this is why we go out and share the gospel with kids from Hong Kong Evangelical Children's Home, where we share the gospel with young people in Chengdu, where we share the gospel with somebody under an umbrella down the plaza or in the workplace. We're sharing because why? Because we want them to be friends with God. And the only way you can become friends with God is how? Through faith in Christ. And experience that mercy, the blood covering all our sins, and grace getting what I don't deserve, all that good stuff. I'm a child of God now. I'm a son of daughter of God. I'm the apple of his eye. I am his friend. And I'll live forever and ever and rule with him at his pleasures, at his right hand and in his throne are these pleasures forevermore that far outshine the pleasures that we have right here. Well, summary, Jesus, our great high priest, is the secret to a vibrant prayer life. He's praying for you. And we'll see that come up more clearly as we look at Christ, our great high priest, in Hebrews. He ever lives to make intercession for you. There's a verse coming up on that. But you know what? You and I can go boldly and confidently and get that help, get that grace and mercy we need to hold on to our faith. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, it seems like such a far removed concept of priesthood. We don't like being dependent upon anything, but Lord, when it comes to our spiritual growth, to become more like Christ, to become a person who really loves God and loves people, we understand we have so many limitations and so selfish heart and a hard heart, and our ears don't want to listen to you. And I just pray, Lord, make me a man and make my friends men and women who run to you. Run to you in time of need for mercy and grace. Time of need when we need to hold onto our faith, but time in need, what it might be for physical healing. For healing in our parent with our marriage, with our parenting. Lord, you know every person in this room, and some are struggling mightily with sin and purity issues. And I pray you'd show them that you are sympathetic. You understand weakness. But you give and give and give grace and mercy. Lord, you know the marriages of every man and woman here. Some are going pretty good. And some have great need. And so I pray for men and women, we'll bring our marriages to you and continually seek to you for grace and mercy to make them better, to make them more spirit-filled. And I pray especially for the fathers, Lord, and the husbands, that they would indeed learn what does it mean for them to be the priest of the family. Yeah. But Lord, we thank you. We're all called to be this priesthood, but it all flows from you, our great high priest. Thank you again, Jesus. Thank you again that you stand before the throne on our behalf. And it's in your lovely name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand with us as we declare what we believe?
Desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe in this broken generation. When all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit. And he's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection. And he's coming back again. We believe. So let our faith be more than anthems. Greater than the songs we sing. And in our weakness and temptations, we believe, we believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit. And he's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection. And he's coming back again. Let the lost be found and the dead be raised. In the here and now, let love invade. Let the church live loud, our God will say. We believe, and the gates of hell will not prevail. For the power of God has torn the veil. Now we know your love will never fail. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back. He's coming back again. He's coming back again. We believe.
Pretty simple. A vibrant prayer life is could be one word: help. Have mercy on me. I receive benediction. And may the love of God the Father and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit make you and I a people of vibrant prayer, knowing that our great high priest hears us. He knows our weaknesses. Amen.